So he calms their nerves. And then he begins to show himself to the disciples. He said, see, really me, I'm alive. They did this to me, but the grave couldn't hold me. And all of them are in awe. They're going, oh my word, you're alive. Notice I said 10 were there. One was missing, Thomas. One had made his own choice and left, in Judas. And so now we're going to pick up with the rest of the story a week later, which we just read. So look at me, look with me to verse 26. It says, 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. So John is spelling out specifically that now Thomas is present with them. And although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Again, I think they had to be a little bit jittery when all of a sudden Jesus would appear into this room. And so he immediately calms their nerves. But listen to what he does next. Then he, Jesus, said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. I love this interaction. We've just seen the humanness of Thomas in the sense that he said, I will never believe unless I can see for myself, touch for myself. Now we're seeing this divine nature of Jesus. Just like with Mary, Jesus is meeting Thomas exactly where he is. You know, our human nature would probably say, Thomas, you're an idiot. He told you he was going to die. He told you he was going to come back to life. Didn't you see the miracles? I've been doing all this stuff. What, Thomas? Oh, bad Thomas. Bad Thomas. But he doesn't do that. First of all, he calms the nerves of all the guys in the room, and then he goes sweetly and gently to Thomas, who hasn't seen him yet, so he hasn't been able to benefit of saying, I've seen him. And he says the exact same words that Thomas used earlier in order to gain his belief. He says the exact same words. He says, put your hand here. Put your hand in my side. Don't disbelieve, but believe. And I love the response of Thomas here as we pick up in verse 28. And Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. I'm going to come back to that in just a second. Jesus knew that seeing wasn't always necessarily believing. Jesus himself was the front row guy for performing miracles, for doing these incredible things, and literally hundreds, if not thousands of people had witnessed that, had witnessed some pretty supernatural things that they saw with their own eyes, but yet they didn't believe. He even performs the greatest supernatural miracle of all time where he himself dies and he himself comes back to life. And literally hundreds, if not thousands of people witnessed that entire time. And yet there were some that didn't believe. So Jesus is connecting with his disciples and he's telling them, he says, don't disbelieve, but believe. And I love how Thomas responds. Thomas didn't place his fingers. Doesn't say that. Thomas doesn't place his hand in his side. He simply says, my Lord and my God. Much like Mary said, teacher. He recognized immediately that he was who he said he was. That he was the Lord. He was the Messiah. He was the one that they had truly been waiting for. But he adds, and my God, to that, which is pretty powerful. It may not seem like it on words, but that word for God is the big God, the big G, the Yahweh word that the Jews couldn't even utter that word. So what we see is a moment in time and a moment in history where through believing in Jesus, they now see that Jesus is both Messiah and God. We see the deity of Jesus introduced through a guy who was known as the doubter. We see something different in the way that these guys could now see him through their belief. As we continue on, Take a look at verse 29. Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Have you believed because you've seen me?" Christ knew that eyewitnesses were not always reliable. Back in my early days, I worked for a bank for a short period of time. And while in the bank, they had a security team that would meet up with all the employees and say, "We need to prepare you in the event of a bank robbery. And your number one goal is don't get killed," okay? That made you feel really confident in that meeting at that point. Basically, don't do anything stupid. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to focus in on that bank robber. You know, there's a reason why we have the measurements on the door so you can kind of see how tall they are. I want you to just concentrate as much as you can in the stress of the situation. I want you to focus in on exactly what they look like. Male, female, big, tall, accents, any distinguishable features that they might have that could help us find the bank robber. Focus, focus, focus. Because here's what happens. There's this weird phenomenon when people are in those types of situations. He said, "I will sit all of you down, and there'll be 10 of you who are all in the same room at the exact same time, and I will ask a question. Was it male or were they female?" He said, most of the time they can get that one right. How tall was the bank robber? And first person says, 5'5". And the fourth one down says, "Oh no, they were at least 6'5". "Oh no, they spoke with an accent." "Oh no, they didn't have an accent." "Oh no, they had tattoos all over." "No, I didn't see any tattoos." The stories of these eyewitnesses varied. And so Christ knew that seeing wasn't necessarily believing. Because not all who saw believed, right? We knew through the miracles, through the things that Jesus done, not all believed. So Jesus knew that seeing wasn't going to be the end-all, be-all for believing. And so he says these words to Thomas. He says, Jesus said, "Have you believed because you've seen me?" And this is where we see the human nature and the divine nature culminating in this great blessing. He said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." See, Jesus knew that not all who saw him would believe. But he gives us this blessing. He gives us this blessing that all who believe will see. So let that sink in for a minute. Not all who see will believe, but all who believe will see. This is where my message turns. Normally, this would be the time in which I give this great application of how you need to go out and change the world. But this is a message of encouragement. And it's an encouragement that the creator of the universe, the Messiah, our God, Yahweh, is telling us we are blessed. We are blessed because we believe and haven't seen. He knew that there'd be countless number of people who could see that, but they just wouldn't believe it. So he's telling us today that we're blessed. And that word blessed has a lot of different meanings to it. And we kind of get it confused a little bit in America. We tend to equate blessings with our stuff. Blessings with things that we've accumulated. Our jobs, our money, our houses, our cars, all these things we say, we are so blessed. Or we're not blessed because we don't have that type of stuff. I remember sitting with a guy recently who told me how awful his life was and all the things that he didn't have. And I said, well, let's just stop for a second and let's talk about all the things you do have. Well, he had a house, he had a job, and he had a car, and he didn't have any crazy bills. I said, in 99% of the country, in the world, you're pretty blessed. But we've confused that blessing with the things we've accumulated. And Christ is saying, no. My blessing is so much more than that. My blessing is that because you believe, now you can see me. Now what you read in this book makes sense. Now when you hear my words spoken through this book, they penetrate your heart. Now you see things differently. I know in my own life, in 1986, when I accepted the Lord as my Savior, when I said, I believe, because here's the deal. Christ is not dying every weekend. He's not raising from the dead every Sunday so that we can believe it. Because he knew not all who see would believe. So in 1986, that's when the light came onto me, and I said, I believe what's in this book. I believe that Jesus died for me. And it's taken time. My journey is not unlike any of yours. That blessing sometimes has felt really powerful, and sometimes it's felt a little bit cloudy. You know, sometimes we fill up our lives, those of us who believe in the Lord, with stuff, or life happens. Death comes to us by surprise. We lose a job. Our spouse doesn't like us. We've done some things that maybe have self-inflicted some pain upon us. And that blessing doesn't seem as real as it once was. But the creator of the universe is telling you, you are blessed. I think of how even in my life has slightly changed. You know, my old life, I worked in the real estate business, and we were in a room with a bunch of guys that were doing a Bible study, and they're sharing how blessed we were. And I said, guys, let's not confuse this. We happen to be white guys living in America in the best real estate market on the face of this planet. If we were not living in the best real estate market in the world, wouldn't we still be blessed? It doesn't have anything to do with that stuff that we just listed. I used to get these commission checks, and I'm not bragging, but they were sometimes pretty substantial. When I changed and the Lord said, hey, I want all of that stuff, and I turned it over to him, I'm going to share with you a story that happened when I was teaching over at the school next door. I took an 86% pay cut to go over there and teach at the school. And I'm just loving life, and I'm doing everything that I believe the Lord wants me to do. And I can see him more clearly than I ever had before. And it's around Christmas time, and the president of the board, of which I was on the board, used to serve with these guys, knew these guys real well, used to do business with them, but now I'm the employee and not the board member. But the president comes in, and he has an envelope for me with my name on it. And he says, it's not much, but we want to thank you for all you're doing here. I was completely blown away. Didn't expect it, wasn't thinking about it, didn't know that was a regular thing that happened at the school. I just was blown away. And I'm like, oh, no, I don't need this. And they, no. And then he kind of chuckled. He said, believe me, it's not much. And I just looked at that envelope for the longest time. And I said, Lord, I didn't expect that. I didn't need it. I didn't expect it. So later on that night, I opened it up, and all I could think about for a split second was, I remember opening up some envelopes in my old life and opening up and seeing checks and being pretty astonished by the number in there. But I opened this one up that particular day, and I pulled it out, and I just looked at it. It was $100. I thought, wow. $100. That's how much they think of me? That's great. That's awesome. And I saw God differently as a result of now believing in him and truly believing in him. And so if you're in this time of where you maybe don't see him as clearly, those of you who believe, maybe it's the time you go back to that moment of your first salvation. The salvation that you had, the hope that you had when you first placed your trust with Jesus. You know, I think of the shepherd boy, David, who ultimately would become King David. Most of you are familiar with a lot of his stories, but he had some things that were self-inflicted and just some stuff that filled his life. And I think all of a sudden, his original blessing didn't seem as clear as it once was. And so in Psalms 51, he has this great passage that I just meditate on whenever I'm in those dark and cloudy times. And he just says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. It was a dark, dark time for David. Yet he just uttered those simple words, restore to me the joy of your salvation. That fire, that hope, that excitement, that cleansed feeling that you felt at that moment when you placed your trust in the Lord. So you're blessed. Walk out of here knowing that you're blessed. I came up with a little definition. I'm not trying to impress you or anything like that, but I came up with one that I thought would be a great definition for blessed. sufficiently and joyfully content. Sufficiently and joyfully content. Whether you have a little or whether you have a lot. Because here's the deal. You may have circumstances like I used to have when there was lots of money there, where, you know, maybe the Lord is taking care of you for that reason. But don't confuse that blessing that now you can see Christ differently, not as a result of your stuff, but because of what he's done inside of you. There's a second group that Christ is talking to right now. And see, as you come into church, there's some of us that come to church a lot, and so you're familiar with these surroundings, and you're familiar with the stories, and you're familiar with kind of the activity that goes on inside a building like this. But there's some of you who've come in here, they're maybe in a different spot. You're not exactly sure what you believe. You're not exactly sure what faith is. You're not exactly sure why you're even here today. But here's the message of encouragement for you. Is whatever label you walked in here with. For me, praise the Lord, I'm no longer labeled as Porky Pig. But maybe you've walked in here and your label is ashamed. Maybe your label is addicted. Maybe your label is abused. Maybe your label is broken. Maybe your label is, I thought I had it all figured out, but I realized I don't. Maybe your label is lonely. Maybe your label is, I'm lost. Here's what the God of the universe is saying to you today. He's saying, blessed. Blessed are you who believe and don't see. He's giving you this blessing today, and all you have to do is believe. All you have to do is believe in something that never changes. You know, culture kind of messes with our minds and tells us the things that we should believe in. Things that are of the top 10 seller list, bestseller list. The gurus that are teaching philosophies du jour that this is health and wealth is what it's all about. All of these things that in the end will burn. All of these things that will go away. But he's saying, I want you to put your faith and trust in what I'm telling you through my word that hasn't changed, that in fact, 10 of those 11 guys went to their death proclaiming. Thomas, by the way, shared the gospel in the Holy Lands and would ultimately make it all the way to India to share that I saw the risen Lord and I believe and I see him differently now. Goes all the way to India where he is killed for his faith, ironically with a spear that's run into him. So that same Jesus, the same God of the universe, the same Messiah that spoke those words to Thomas is really speaking those words to you today. So there's those of you who believe and maybe that blessing is a little cloudy. Go back to your original joy of salvation. Now, for those of you who have never had that experience, you can today by simply believing. Because you're never going to change ashamed, addicted, abused, lonely, worried on your own. You're not capable of doing it on your own. That's why Jesus says, simply believe, and I will change the way you see me. I will change the way you see the world. I will change the way you see other people. I will give you new eyes. I will give you a new heart. I'm going to give you hope today, which is what you so desperately need. I'm going to give you a future. I'm going to give you meaning and purpose. I'm going to give you that there's more to life than just living and dying. But you can't have that unless you believe. And we, as hardworking Americans, try to fix that ourselves. And we think we can work our ways out of it, and we just can't in the end. So Jesus is giving you a command today and a blessing today, the saying, blessed are you who believed and don't see. Blessed are you who believe and don't see. Because he knew not all who would see would believe, but to all who would believe, he would give new eyes to see him. We're going to go to the communion table in just a moment. And this is a precious, precious time that we have together to where we can recall the events that happened in that same time frame that John shared with us about the Apostle Thomas. This is a time in which we get to remember that tremendous sacrifice that allowed us to be in his presence, to allow us to then see him. You know, and think about it for just a moment. He was not alone when he was hung on the cross. There was a guy on his left and a guy on his right. They were both thieves. They were both had the same sentence as Jesus. They were both convicted to die. One of the disciples was mocking Jesus and saying, "If you're who you say you are, then get off that cross and save us. Save yourself." Jesus knew he couldn't do that. Not that he wasn't able, but he just knew that that wasn't the plan. But then we had this other guy on the other side who simply uttered a couple words, much like Mary, right? Teacher. Much like Thomas did, "My Lord and my God." This thief uttered two words, "Remember me." Through that acknowledgement of "remember me," he recognized that Jesus was who he said he was, that he would die, certainly, but he knew death wouldn't hold him. And Christ said to him that day, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." That's what you can have today if you do not feel blessed, if you don't believe you're blessed, but you can have that today. And all you have to do is believe. The thief could not come off that cross. He could not fix any of the wrongs. He could not apologize to anybody. He couldn't pay back anything for what he'd stolen. It was simply he acknowledged that, "Remember me." And you can do that today. And that's what communion is all about. It's for believers. It's a time in which we go back to maybe the moment of our salvation and we remember the gift of Christ on that cross. And more importantly, what happened 3 days later when the stone was rolled away. It's a time in which maybe we can confess those things in which Christ, we're not seeing that blessing quite as brightly as it once was. And it's for those of you who walk in here with a label that you don't want to be known for anymore as broken or ashamed, but you want to be blessed because you're now a child of God. You can do that today as well. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to invite our ushers forward, and they're going to hand out the elements. Hold them for just a moment, and we're going to take communion together. But take a few moments and just offer up to God what it is in whichever camp you're in today. Let me pray for us. Lord, we thank you that your truth is right, that it's the same today as it was 2,000 years ago. And Lord, we thank you for giving us new eyes to see you because we recognize that you're not dying and raising from the dead for us every single week so that we can continue to believe. But you've given us your word. You've given us your Holy Spirit that reminds us that you are real, that you are a living God. And Lord, I pray for those today in whichever camp they're in, if their blessing is a little bit cloudy, may they restore the joy of your salvation in their lives. And for those that have never had that joy, Lord, I pray that they would place their trust in you today, that they would simply say, "Remember me." And Lord, I pray that today would be the day that they would mark as the day that they are truly blessed. Because Lord, you knew that not all who would see would believe, but all who would believe would see. Lord, we thank you for this precious and tender time that we've had in hearing your words. In Jesus' name, amen.